Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a Mouse Clubhouse conversation.
Hi, this is Scott Wolf, and this conversation is with Renee Bardot. If you're a fan of Disneyland, you most likely have seen Renee's work. He got a summer job working as a photographer for Disneyland in 1959, but that summer job turned into a 40-year career. Renee became the chief photographer for the park, and in addition to shooting countless celebrities and dignitaries that would visit Disneyland, such as Emperor Hirohito of Japan, Prime Minister Nehru of India, and a number of U.S. presidents, Renee also photographed some of the most well-known photos of Walt Disney. Renee captured all the shows, parades, attractions, and special events at Disneyland during his time there. Despite photographing Sleeping Beauty Castle thousands of times, he never got tired of capturing the beauty of that landmark. After retiring in 1998, Renee was presented with a special ceremony at Disneyland where he received a window on Main Street, a very high honor for those who have played an important role in Disneyland history. You can see that window, appropriately enough, above the Main Street camera shop. I remember many times while I was working for Disney and had the chance to photograph various special events for them, and I got to watch Renee in action. That only made it more special for me when I got to finally sit down with Renee more than 25 years later to learn his fascinating story. Although I was aware at that time that Renee was the Disneyland photographer, I had no idea that he was responsible for so many pictures of Walt Disney himself. Perhaps his best-known photograph is of Walt walking alone through the castle, an image that has later been dubbed Footsteps. You'll hear the story behind that photograph in this conversation, as well as one of Renee's favorite photos, which turned out to be Walt Disney's last visit to Disneyland. To begin this conversation from 2016, I asked Renee about Charlie Nichols, the first chief photographer for Disneyland, and who Renee would often collaborate with. Here's Renee Bardot.
First chief photographer, he was hired by Eddie Mack because INP was bought out by AP, I think it was, Associated Press. So Charlie was kind of at ends. He didn't know what, you know, he was a photographer, newspaper photographer. And Eddie knew him because he used to cover the Hollywood scene.
Charlie did.
Because Eddie Mack used to be a front man for the movies.
Right, I heard about that.
So he came to the park. And then I had a girlfriend who became my first wife here in California. And after I finished school, the semester, I should say, I came to California to be with her. And I needed something to do. So I applied at the old Herald Examiner. Chief photographer there was Sam Sansoni. I asked Sam, could I work as an intern? He said, you missed it by a week. He said, we just hired somebody, but he said, I have a friend who is chief photographer at Disneyland, Charlie Nichols. I'll give him a call, and then you'll give him a call and go see him, which I did. Within 15 minutes of interview, Charlie hired me. And it was summers only. And then when we finished the summer, I went back to school. And before I left to go to school, he said, come back next summer. Yeah. So that kept going on like that until I got my degree.
What year was that?
63. When I got my degree, I came back and I went back to Disney. And they said, stay with us until you find what you're looking for in the area of marketing. I said, well, okay. Well, 1 year became two, became five, became 10.
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute, 10 years, I'm already vested. Should I go somewhere else? The wife and I talked over, should I stay here? So I stayed. 10 became 20, 20 became 30, 39. I said, that's it. So I say 40 years.
Yeah. What about Walt Disney? You took some of the most famous pictures of Walt. Did you get to know him? What are your memories of Walt?
Walt was a very sharp individual, always thinking. He couldn't be bothered, in my estimation, he couldn't be bothered with trivial things, you know. And Hills Brothers Coffee Shop. It was during the winter. And we opened by 10 o'clock, I think it was. And at that time, I had dual duty. I was the photographer on duty. I worked weekends. I had photographer duty, and I had publicity duty. My job was to greet the press, individuals who came to the park, you know, on the first time basis. I'd greet them, and I had a big map of the park. I'd show them where the different things were, and any questions. Did they want any kind of material, any photographs of the park? Here's our number, my card. Give us a call if you need anything. Before we went in, before I went to the office, I'd stop at Hills Brothers for a cup of coffee, which I think was a nickel, and a donut was a dime. So as you walked into the dining area, not outside, but inside, we went around the corner, there was a wall, and right behind the wall, there were tables. Well, I always sat it, and I was the only one there. Why? Because the girls were getting ready for, you know, the crowd to come in. So I was sitting at the table there. Gentleman walks in. Like it's crowded. What am I going to say? It was empty. But he's looking around like if it was crowded. He sees me. He walks over. Do you mind if I sit down? He says, no, Walt. Have a seat. So no. And the young lady comes over and says, excuse me, Mr. Disney, is there anything I can get you? Wait. He said, it's not Mr. Disney, it's Walt. We only have two misters in the park, Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Toad. Sat down and we chatted, you know, just chatted. Very general. I would never have asked, hey, Walt, I need a raise. Yeah, no. Sure. Trivial. No. And he would bounce ideas off people. And he would bounce ideas. You know, I don't remember what they were, but what do you think if we repainted the Blue Bayou or something? Yeah, good idea. Whatever.
He really cared what people thought, it seemed.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was his, to please the people. And then after a while, he'd look at his watch and say, I got to go. The gate's about to open, and I don't want to get mobbed. Autograph seekers. He disappeared up to the apartment above the firehouse. Fire station, yeah. So that happened a couple of times.
Yeah. Were you in awe of Walt, or was it just like someone you worked with? How did you feel around him?
I think the first meeting, and my first meeting was introduced to him, it was at the opening of the mule ride.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was there with his grandkids. And Charlie was, you know, I was with Charlie. We both were shooting back pictures. Mm-hmm. And Charlie went up to Walt. And Charlie looked a lot like Walt.
Really?
Oh, geez. Charlie got stopped in the street asking for Walt's autograph.
No kidding. Charlie Nichols?
Charlie Nichols. Huh. And Walt, he said, new member of our staff. This is Rene Bardot. Oh, Rene, glad to meet you. Very personable, you know. But that was about the only time I was in awe of him. After that, he was the boss.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all kind of followed, how should we say, his way of thinking. The happiest place on earth. Every person that goes through the gate is king.
Yeah.
You treat them as our guests, always. Smile, you know, be nice to people, and help them in any way you could. Which is the philosophy I followed, you know, when I was there.
Yeah.
I'd ask other people in other departments, how can I help you do your job with my photography? If I can make your job easier with pictures, let me know. And that's where we worked. Also, and Charlie taught me this, that we all worked together as a team, a photographic team. No one took credit for a picture at the time.
Yeah.
In other words, if a picture went out, it didn't go out with bylines.
Right.
It was Walt Disney pictures, photo by Walt Disney Productions or Pictures, whatever.
And how did you feel about that?
Fine.
Really? Because you're doing it for them.
If one guy shines, we all shine.
Yeah.
If one guy messes up, we all mess up.
Yeah.
So that was fine. And I followed that philosophy. So when the freelancers start coming to me, they say, hey, what about bylines? We don't get bylines. It's a Walt Disney Productions or a Walt Disney Company photo.
Yeah.
You don't like those terms? Bye-bye. And I had a real good crew working for me.
What is the story with Walt walking through the castle, that famous photo?
Oh, okay. Saturday morning, because Walt would only come to the park on the weekends.
Right.
Weekdays he was at the studio in Burbank. And one of his habits was walking through the park. I'll tell you two stories about that.
Yeah.
By myself, I was in Frontierland. No, yeah, I was at the river, by the river. And I was photographing with a 4x5 camera, and I was underneath a black cloth photographing Aunt Jemima's pancake house.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because they were, and at the time, I had heard they were going to change Aunt Jemima's to a different restaurant, and the people at WED wanted, what did it look like? So they could start, you know, their drawing and designing, etc. So there I am, underneath the cloth, focusing, getting a shoot. I feel somebody come up next to me. He said, excuse me. Oh, good morning, Walt. What are you doing? I said, well, I call it WED, but you know what I mean, imaginary.
Sure, oh yeah.
They called and they want a picture of the front of Aunt Jemima's house. They're going to do some designing or something, but anyway, they want a picture. Oh, okay. Go on. Carry on with your work. He walked away. He went over to a popcorn wagon. Rick, a young lad was getting ready to make popcorn and getting ready to sell. Walt reached in his pocket and pulled out some money. It's a bag of popcorn, please. Oh, Walt, oh, here. No. I know that you have to account for every carton, you know, money-wise, for every carton. So here's the money. Give me the popcorn. He went over to the river, dumped the whole bag in the river.
Why?
For the mud hens.
Really?
Feed the ducks and the mud hens. Okay, second story.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, like I said, he would walk the park, pointing out different things to himself. Then, of course, he'd tell somebody else, change this or change that or whatever. He's walking through the castle. Charlie and I are coming back from an assignment. So I'm walking. We're both using Rolleiflex cameras. Click! That's it.
Really? Just that quick and simple?
Just like that.
And it was a completely natural shot of
him. Natural. No posing, no nothing.
Okay.
Click! Morning, Walt. Morning. Went on our way. It was a grab shot.
That's something. Is it true that you had never been to Disneyland before?
I had never been there, no.
Not. What do you remember seeing it for the first time?
What do I remember? Not very much. I was more interested in working, you know, getting a job.
Yeah.
So I went straight to meet Charlie. In fact, he met me at the back gate, and we walked in. So I really didn't get a chance to go into the park.
Oh, really?
It was straight to the photo department.
What was the photo department besides just taking pictures?
But and processing.
Oh, the processing.
Oh yeah, it was all film, black and white.
Really?
We did all the processing.
So was there a dark room there?
Oh yeah, yeah. My nails were always brown.
Really?
From the developer.
Oh yeah. Right.
And the first office located above Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
As you went up the stairs. Behind the Lincoln, the Mad Hatter.
Right.
You went behind the Mad Hatter, stairs leading up. The first room you came to was a switch room.
Okay.
The telephone switch room. The next was our office. The next was the switchboard, where all the girls used to switch the calls. Next to that was the publicity office, and that was it.
Oh, And where was the dark room? Was that in that area?
Right there.
Did you work with publicity?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Who were the people in publicity at the time? I know you mentioned Eddie,
Eddie Mack. Charlie Ridgway.
Oh, Charlie Ridgway.
Was there. Some more people in publicity besides them. You know, they came and they went. So many people.
When you started, were you a photographer or were you doing...
Photographer, darkroom, but mostly for darkroom.
And do you remember your first photo shoot?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah. The opening of the monorail.
Well,
I cut the ribbon, and that was my first assignment.
What type of equipment did you use in that?
Oh, 4x5 cameras. The company had the equipment, yeah. The press cameras, you know, you've seen them in the movies.
They were those big
with the
ones.
Flash bulbs, yeah. That's what we used.
That's amazing.
I got more than one burned hand when I stuck the flash bulb in and it went off.
No kidding. Was it hard in those days? Today you just flash. But was it hard to have to switch flash?
You had
one bulb, right, per picture, and then you would have to switch the bulb.
Right.
Did you ever...
You carried a bag full of bulbs and extra film. And it was one holder which held two shots. So you'd put the holder in, take out the slide, shoot your picture, insert the slide. There were two sides to the slide, chrome and black. To differentiate which it was exposed and which it was not. Then as soon as you slid the slide back in, took it out, reversed it, put it back in, shot it. And then we shot, took it out, bagged, another one.
You couldn't just advance the film on your camera. You really had to plan what you wanted.
Oh, yeah. And well, you definitely, yeah. Then we went into 2.25. Rolleiflex. I don't know if you've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Twin lens reflex made in Germany. Use roll film, 12 shots to a roll. And then from there, we went to Hasselblads. And Hasselblads to 35 millimeter format.
Did you ever miss a shot when...
Did I miss?
Well...
Oh, gracious.
Yeah.
Does the sun rise? Yeah, I was shot, sure.
Because I was just thinking if you had to take it out and put it back in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But not so much with 35.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was all film. It was not digital.
Right.
It was all film.
Did you feel pressure or was it just your job?
Always, and always pressure. There was always pressure. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, always pressure. Deadlines and pressure.
Yeah. And what about some of the people? You photographed presidents, you have Walt. And
I have this book here you can look at, and then after you look at this, I have two more books in the car if you're interested.
If I'm interested,
yes.
I can't wait. I've seen your photos of Louis Armstrong, Nat King Cole.
And the big bands.
One of them was Sweet Emma Barrett.
Sweet Emma Barrett. And her main singer, Monette Moore. There was Dixieland at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
And probably Sonny
Anderson
was involved in this, bringing in different bands, jazz bands, Dixieland jazz. And yes, I photographed Sweet Emma Barrett and her main singer, Monette Moore.
Who are your favorite people to photograph that you remember?
Reba McEntire.
Really?
Nicest lady.
Really
a nice lady. Dolly Parton.
Yeah, nice.
Nice. Buck Owens.
Really?
And if you notice, all these people are from the Western entertainment. It seems to me that a lot of the people from the West, you know, humble beginnings, shall we say, that are in country music, were the nicest people.
No kidding.
James Gardner, very nice. Another story. James Gardner was at the park with his wife and his daughter's birthday. And they're having lunch behind the tiki room, the Asian Terrace. Call the office, I answered the phone. Manager of the Asian Terrace, James Gardner would like a picture taken of his daughter's birthday. Sure, why not? So I went over, introduced myself, I'm the photographer, and says, nothing to be out for the press or nothing. This is strictly for them.
Right.
Him, his wife, and his daughter. Shot pictures, 2, 3, or 4 different angles. I said, thank you, Mr. Gardner. Said, you're more welcome. please join us? No, I don't think so. No, I insist. No, I can't give it. Who's your boss? I'll call your office. Sit down. I sat down. So I had lunch with James Garner. Very nice individual. Johnny Cash was very nice.
Really?
Don't tell me who some of the bad ones were. There were some.
Were there?
Yes.
Some divas and things like that?
Extreme divas.
Really?
Some are long past now. They're passed away, but still.
You know, you took a picture of in front of the castle.
Okay. 1,000 pictures in front of the castle.
Did you take 10,000 pictures of the castle?
More.
Oh, my gosh. Well, why would you take that many pictures?
Why?
Of just the castle without...
Oh, no. Not just the castle.
Oh, okay.
I mean, in front of the castle, people, dignitaries, the castle, during the fireworks, during the day.
Right.
You'll see that in the other book.
There wasn't a special event every single day. So
no. We had assignments. They'd called us, maintenance department, and this was after Charlie was gone. Called me, and by this time, our staff of four cut down to one. We outsourced. That was during the period where the park stopped outsourcing everything. And I had a crew of freelancers. And I use them all the time, same one. One of them, her name is Adrienne Helitzer, who was photographer for the LA Times. Nice little gal. And she used to shoot for me, so I had an assignment from the maintenance department. They wanted pictures of the castle roof. Why photograph all the pigeon poop?
Really?
Why? Because they wanted money from the studio to clean it up. So instead of going to the studio with just a written report, pictures tell 1,000 words. So Adrian went out with a long lens and shooting nothing but tiles on the roof full of pigeon. And this tourist, elderly German gentleman come up and said, "So what are you doing?" She said, "I'm photographing the castle." "So why you have such a long lens in photographing the castle?" Adrian told me this afterwards. She looked around, she said, "I'm photographing the pigeon poop." "Pigeon poop, why?" And then she explained why. So another assignment from maintenance. It was a big, gigantic gear that ran the Astra jets.
Oh, really?
Cracked.
Oh, my.
They went for regular maintenance. You know, every ride gets shut down for a period of a week, 2 weeks, depending on the ride. They'll check for safety, etc. They took the gear off, took it backstage, and they called me. He says, "We have to show where this crack is. Can you photograph it? Let me see it." I looked at it. Hairline, could barely see it. I said, "Get some fluorescent paint it, get some blue ultraviolet light." Shot it that way. Why did I think of ultraviolet light? Because of the Pinocchio ride.
Yeah. You photographed inside every attraction in the park.
Yes.
While you were there.
Yeah.
What about lighting? What about like the Pinocchio ride?
Okay. What we tried to do in there, and I got this from Charlie, and also some of the lighting directors from WED, Imagineering. We tried to emulate the same lighting that they used. And in many instances, we used both strobe, you know, stand-up strobes, and we used regular incandescent light. But we would filter them the same color as what was, if it was a yellow light here, shining on the Pirates of the Caribbean, we'll say. We put a strobe there with a yellow filter.
Try and get as close as you could.
As close as we could to the original.
Just a regular flash, or just wash it out?
Just wash it off. Good example of that is the Electrical Light Parade.
Oh, yeah.
If you shot flash, it would drown out the light, and all you could see was the lattice work and the frame and the chicken wire. So you had a photographic. And believe me, it was not easy to photograph.
So how did you do that?
Using color film, and we extended the development time. Told the process, we never had a color lab. We told the processor develop it two, what we call two extra stops, so they would leave it in the developer longer than normal, and that would up our rating. The rating of the film, if you remember what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say you had 400 film,
right.
ASA 400. We shoot it at 800 and 1600. Two stops.
Were you allowed to just like pose the floats so they're not moving?
No, no. Except one time, and yeah. I'll show you that picture in the other
great,
book.
Great.
Yeah.
I remember at the opening of Fantasmic, and I got to be there, they gave us a sheet because it was so hard to photograph. I think they suggested we use like 1600. You probably created the sheet.
Maybe I helped.
Yeah.
Because we probably shot dress rehearsals, and that way we tried out what was the best. Had it processed and figured out, well, the best thing to use 1600 film.
Yeah. Going back to your daily tasks.
Routine, okay.
Was there really a fishbowl where you would draw?
Okay, yeah, there was. That's when I had the guys working for me.
Okay.
This is not the freelancers. This is the regular crew that, okay. that worked. We had no assignments. All the darkroom stuff was done. We had a bowl, and written on it were different rides, different scenes, different this and the other. We'd throw them all in there. And I'd say to Gary Moore. Worked for me. Go in the fishbowl, pick something out, go do it, go photograph the carousel. He'd go out and photograph the carousel. Why? Because maybe we needed an update, maybe it was freshly painted, maybe they changed a horse or two, you know, any number of reasons.
So were these photos just to have on hand if someone
Number one,
did?
Yeah, yeah.
What types of... places would use them. Would be press, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
What other things?
Advertising, magazines, newspapers. Some podunk newspaper in New Jersey would write, and they would want this, that. Publicity, come to me. What do we have on the carousel? Oh, here we will. That one, okay. You have it printed. Here you are. And they send it off with a little story.
So you stored negatives, not prints.
Negatives, color and black and white, and transparency. Magazines at that time preferred transparency.
Oh.
Over color negative. Over print, I should say.
Were you able to take a color photo and convert it to black and white?
Yes.
You were.
Yes, yes, yes.
So why did you have two different...
Faster, cheaper.
Is it?
Yeah, it was expensive getting a 35mm transparency, make it into a 4x5,
yeah.
And then 4x5 into color, or I mean black and white.
What about touching up photos?
Never.
Well, did you ever shoot digitally for Disney?
Yes.
You did?
The very last year I was there.
Really?
Yeah. I hired extra photographers to shoot regular film and digital.
Oh, okay.
Because digital was so new, I didn't want to trust digital. If something went wrong, we'd have nothing.
Right.
So we always had a backup.
Yeah.
So then when I left, they all went to digital.
Now, what about with fireworks? Did you always just get lucky with fireworks, or no?
They're planned.
Oh.
Not by them, by us.
Really? What do you mean?
Okay. Most of the stuff was done from in front of the castle. Why the castle? The trademark. The trademark of the park was the castle.
Sure.
Okay. Fireworks go out in bursts. One burst. One burst, pow. One burst, pow. Okay. After you've shot them for so many years, you know just about where they're going to pop open. You see the streak at the zenith. The next one, you set your camera on a tripod. You open the lens to open, now open shutter. You put a piece of cardboard or something in front of the lens, and you watch. You got it all focused in. You've already made your exposure of the castle.
Oh, okay, so otherwise the castle would be
the castle is already exposed. Then you wait for fireworks. Fireworks goes up, just as it's about to bust, take bust cover up again.
So you're next not using one. You are manually doing the shutter.
You are the shutter. And you're stacking the fireworks.
Yeah. And were you able to, was the park empty where they were just shot off just for
no,
you?
No. Crowds.
Really?
You'll see the pictures. Okay. Crowds, all kinds of crowds.
Oh, wow.
And you had to be careful that nobody come and bumped you.
Yeah? Did that happen sometimes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm here tomorrow night. Tonight's ruined. I'm here tomorrow night to do the fireworks. And we tried fireworks from different angles, different parts of the park. And the best, of course, was over the castle.
Yeah.
It was intended.
Yeah. And what about the fire truck photo?
Kodak was shooting a commercial, regular motion picture type film. And Charlie and I were there. Charlie was shooting the black and white, and I was shooting color. Again, using Rolleiflex cameras. When they got through shooting, you know, the commercial, one of the directors said, "Still, man, we both rushed in. And it's our shot, our turn. Because we did not shoot while they're shooting. We interrupt the sequence or whatever."
Right.
And then when we're shooting, they stopped their shooting. So Mickey and Walt on the fire truck in front of the castle, we shot Jeff. Charlie and I were shooting at the same time. I shot 11 pictures out of 12. Walt looked me right in the eye and he says, "Why don't you go ahead and shoot one more?" And I said to myself, "Thank God I did not shoot that 12th one."
Yeah, no kidding.
Because if I had, I would have had said, "Wait, Walt, I have to change film." You know, you're taking up his valuable time. My estimation, you're taking up his valuable time.
Right.
Okay, well, one more. Click. And then I made a big show of winding the film up to show him, "Hey, I'm done.
Yeah.
I haven't got any more film in the camera. I got it in the bag, but not in the camera."
Yeah.
"Thank you, Walt. You're more welcome." And he says to me, "Look," he says, "don't ever be afraid to shoot film. At the studio, we treat film like paper clips. They're nothing. If you don't have the shot in the can," which is an old movie term, you know, if you don't on film in the can, "you don't have it. So it's better to throw out film and have the shot and not have it. Thanks for the advice, Walt." So, in essence, I never said to my photographer, "Only shoot 3 shots." No, shoot. We can always edit and throw out what we don't want.
You followed Walt's advice. Do you have any favorite memory that we haven't talked about? A favorite Disney memory?
Thursdays.
Thursdays? Why is that?
Payday. No. It was a fantastic job. Just great.
Yeah.
I love the people you work with. From middle management on down, you know, even the street sweepers, just great people. I work with a lot of nice people.
We hope you've enjoyed this Mouse Clubhouse conversation. Thank you for joining us.